Okay, take your Bibles tonight and find James 2, James chapter 2. James 2, and we'll be looking, starting in a moment, in verse number 14. James 2, verse number 14. Hey, I really encourage you to take a look at the book table while you're here. There are a lot of great resources there that could be a help to you. There are several little books back there. The covers are all white. They're right in one section in the front of the table there, and they're $6 a piece, or two or more, they're $5. And there are several different books that are there. They're very topical in nature, answer a lot of different questions. One of them is a book that I wrote several years ago called Settled and Strong, What It Takes to Have Assurance of Salvation. Another one that I wrote more recently called Choosing Your Defense. It's a book that you can use as a gospel witnessing tool to give to someone that would read that, and it really goes, really the gist of it is, what's going to be your defense with God? Are you going to go on your own defense of you're good enough, or are you going to trust, like we heard in the first service this afternoon, in what Christ did apart from what you have done? And so that's what that is about. There's several others as well. There's one that's a good bit about social media. It's called Tweets, Pins, and Posts. There's another one about friendship, and there's one I think is very helpful for today. It's called Be What You Are, and it is about the fact that God has made two genders. You are one of them. This is a room full of males, and there are not 100 different genders, and just we're never going to have satisfaction in life until we get that very basic matter settled. So that might be able to be a help to somebody that you know, or help you know how to be a help to somebody that you know. And so I encourage you to take a look at all those different options there at the table. You have James 2? If you do, would you stand with me, please? And we're going to read starting in verse number 14. And I'll let you follow along silently while I read. The Bible says, "What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." Thank you for standing. You may be seated. There's an interesting question that is asked there at the end of verse number 14. The whole verse again says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works?" And then it asks the question, "Can faith save him?" Now, you got to cheat for the answer to this question by listening to Dr. Bill's message just a little while ago. So what does the Bible say? Does faith save a person? And what is the answer?
Yes,
absolutely. As a matter of fact, the first reference I have written down to share with you is Acts 16:31. The Bible clearly says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." The Bible goes through other passages. Dr. Bill mentioned several of them, and I think that presents it very clearly to us. In Ephesians 2, the Bible famously says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So the Bible answer to the question, can faith save a man, categorically is yes. And by contrast to that, you have the subject of works. Could a person do certain things to get to heaven as an alternative to faith? And the answer to that would be no. Because for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So our salvation is not in any way, shape, or form based on our works. Titus says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us." So our salvation is not wrapped up in what we do. It's wrapped up in what Jesus did for us on the cross, and we trust him to provide for us that salvation which we cannot provide for ourselves. That clear with everybody?
Yes, sir.
Okay, here's the problem. The way this verse is written, the answer it wants you to give is that no, faith can't save him. The Bible says in verse number 14, what did the prophet, a brethren, though a man say, have faith and have not works, can faith save him? And I'm not an expert in language, but people that are will tell me that it is written in a way that expects you to answer the question with a no. Now, you know, there are things in the Bible that are maybe a little bit harder to grasp than there are others, right? And one of the rules that I heard early on, way before I ever got to a Bible college, was you always interpret things that may seem a little bit confusing by things that are absolutely crystal clear. Amen. So whatever this means, it does not mean that the Bible has one opinion in one place and a different opinion in another place. This does not mean that, well, if you're saved reading Acts 16, then that means you believe. But if you're saved reading James 2, then that means you do it by works. Not in the sense at all that we have been talking about. Salvation is by grace, through faith, alone, period. So this must mean something else. So it's our job to figure out what it means. And I would just suggest to you, first of all, tonight that we understand that it is important to defeat confusion with clarity from context. So if there's confusion, we can bring clarity if we'll understand the context. Now, I know that's supposed to say it's simple and I gave you a confusing sentence, but live with it. Okay. Now here's the deal. And this might really be a help right from the onset here. The word save in the Bible is not always referring to the same concept. Turn over just a couple of pages to the book of 1 Peter 3. Now, I understand when we talk about a person being saved in a church service, in a church sense, most of us, unless you're new to the gospel, we understand we're talking about being saved by grace through faith. But there are other things that the Bible would refer to that we need, in a sense, to be saved from. And one of those is mentioned in 1 Peter 3. And what it says we need to be saved from here is a guilty conscience. And the idea is that as Christians, there are other steps that we take that are important to our continuing to have good fellowship with God. And one of those things is the matter of baptism. And that is mentioned in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, where the Bible says here, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right, here's the deal. Some people will take this verse and they'll say, see, the Bible says that not only do you have to be saved by believing, but there must also be baptism in order for you to be saved, because it says baptism doth also save us. But it's almost like Peter had the idea somebody might be confused about that. Because immediately afterwards it says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. In other words, this saving that baptism does not wash away your sins. It's not what baptism does. Nobody has ever had their sins washed away because they got into a baptismal tank. Nobody has, nobody will. That's not how a person is saved. But if you are a child of God, it's important for you to take the step of obedience in baptism to show to the world around you the decision you've already made in your heart and to produce this illustration. And when you do, it saves you from having a guilty conscience toward God, because if you don't get baptized as a Christian, you're living in disobedience to your Heavenly Father. So just like a rice is still a rice, even if he disobeys, but he ought not do wrong things, a Christian is still a Christian if he's had faith in Christ to save him, even if he's not been baptized, but he ought to be baptized. He ought to be baptized because it's a step of obedience to the Lord. And so the Bible is clear here. This is not a matter of your sins being washed away. So when 1 Peter 3 talks about saving, it's talking about a different type of saving. So it leads me to believe that James 2 might be talking about a different type of saving as well. And that's important to remember. So let's look back at James chapter 2 and to understand the context that is in this passage of Scripture. So you understand, and I understand, especially as we compare Scripture with Scripture, that a person is saved by grace, through faith, apart from works whatsoever. We got that? And I am going quickly through that point. I understand that, but I'm doing so largely because we heard a great message about it earlier. You might be better than I am. You might be better, Dr. Bill said, than he is. But it doesn't matter how you compare to us. It matters how you compare to Jesus Christ. And we all fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners, and that is clear from the Word of God. So what's the talking about in James 2? Well, I think that what causes people the most concern in James 2 is the phrase that we saw at the end of the text that we read. And that was down in verse number 17. The Bible says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. This concept of dead faith is repeated in verse number 26. Do you see it there? It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So if we're going to gain a comfort level with James 2, we've got to understand what the Bible means by dead faith. Well, there are several different things that are said about James chapter 2 that would, I think, get us a little bit off track. For instance, some people would say, well, if your faith is dead, then that means that you did not really have faith in the first place. Okay, let me give you an illustration that might help you understand that that is not what it's talking about here. How many of you have heard of O.J. Simpson? Okay, did you hear that O.J. Simpson recently passed away? Did you know that? So O.J. Simpson died. Now, if you heard somebody told you, hey, did you hear that O.J. Simpson died? Not one of you in this room answered that question by saying, really? I could have sworn he existed. Because that's not what you think when you hear the word dead in many cases. So the idea of a faith being dead is not a matter of a faith that did not really exist in the first place. That doesn't even logically make any sense. So whatever this is talking about, it's not talking about that. Okay, so what is another idea? Well, another idea is, well, maybe a dead faith means that I once had faith in Christ, but because of sin in my life, now I have lost my salvation. Some people believe that, do they not? Okay, well, what does the Bible say? Let's just go to an easy one. John 3:16. How many of you know that verse? Okay, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, so when you have faith in Christ, you don't perish, but instead, what do you receive? Everlasting life. It is life. What kind of life is it? If everlasting life could be life, and then a little while later you would lose it, was it everlasting in the first place? Are you saved, and therefore you will one day have everlasting life? You will have it, but it's not that it's something you will have, it's something you have now. That's what the verse says, is it not? So it is not a matter of someday, if you hang on to what faith is and what salvation is, then if you hang on to it, then you will have eternal life. No, the moment that you believe in Christ, you have everlasting life. And it's a good thing that it works out that way. Because you can't keep yourself saved any better than you could have gotten yourself saved in the first place. Jesus said in John 10, and I give to them eternal life. It's a gift. You earn, it's a gift. And I give it to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It's God's promise. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. If you're saved, you are in the hand of Jesus Christ. If you are saved, you are in the hand of God the Father. Jesus said that. Now here's the deal. Can anybody take you out of God's hand? That includes you. You can't take you out of God's hand. So whatever dead faith means, it does not mean that once you had it and now you have lost it. Well, somebody says, I don't think that's what it means. I just think it means that my faith isn't really real. What does that even mean? What does it mean if we say, well, I just don't know if that was good enough faith? Notice from verse number 17 that when it talks about faith being dead, it is not examining the quality of the faith as much as it is examining what accompanies the faith. It says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. So it's not a matter that there is a kind of faith that is good enough to get to heaven, but a kind of faith that wasn't quite good enough to get to heaven. So you have to have works with it to increase the quality of your faith in order to get to heaven. That's not what it's talking about at all. Amen. Salvation is by grace, through faith, alone. Amen. Now, there ought to be works in your life. And that is going to be showed to us from this passage of Scripture to help us to understand why that is needed. But I just want you to see that this is not a matter of, oh no, I've got dead faith. Maybe it never existed. Or maybe I lost it. Or maybe I didn't really have it good enough in the first place. None of those are adequate explanations of James 2. Salvation is by grace, through faith, alone. Works is not a part of your salvation. Now, I don't know if you know the history of this truth much or not, but about 500 years ago, there was a guy by the name of Martin Luther. Have you heard of him? Not Martin Luther King, Martin Luther, okay? And he was a Catholic priest. And the Catholic Church obviously teaches the fact that you merit salvation by doing certain works. They use a lot of the same terminology that we as Bible believers may use, but be careful with that because they often mean different things by it. And even though a Catholic will talk about the need to be born again, they do not feel that they have confidence in their salvation until they have their last rites given to them right before they die. So none of the things that they would lump into the same pile for salvation are giving them any confidence that they have salvation. And that's because if you're going to try to get to heaven based on works, you've got no right to confidence of salvation. Your confidence is based on what God has said, and God has said salvation is by grace through faith. Well, one day this Catholic priest by the name of Martin Luther is reading the Bible. There's a great idea. And he comes across Romans 1, 17, where the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. And it was a great moment in the understanding of people around the world that salvation was by grace through faith, and it was not a matter of works. Now, here's the deal. So the story goes, Martin Luther, when he would read the book of James, got so frustrated in not understanding it that he basically just decided to ignore it for the rest of his life because it did not mesh with his understanding of salvation being by grace through faith. Interestingly enough, though, about 100 years later, there was another man who was himself a Lutheran, meaning that he followed in the footsteps of Martin Luther, and his name was Spener. And Spener introduced a movement which was called Pietism. And Pietism ended up being a movement that influenced our Baptist circles today, as well as the Moravians, maybe you've heard these groups, that were great soul winners and won many, many people to the Lord around the world. It really was a significant movement. And the whole purpose of Pietism was to make religion practical. Somebody said to Spener one day, they said, "You are a giant just like Martin Luther." Now listen, Spener said, "Luther was the giant, I'm just a dwarf. But if the dwarf can sit on the shoulders of the giant, he might be able to see something the giant can't see." And that's what happened with Martin Luther. He understood the most important concept in Scripture, and that is that salvation is by grace through faith. But he never came to the place where he could understand James 2. And maybe Spener did, maybe Spener didn't. I don't know that exactly. But I do know that he was well known for preaching through the book of James, which Martin Luther had told his preacher boys not ever to preach through. And so basically, I think he came to the point to understand that once you have been saved by faith, it is therefore very important how you live and how you work. So let's just cut right to it. What is dead faith? Dead faith means useless faith. Dead faith means useless faith. But the most important question that remains is useless to whom? How do you get to heaven? For by grace are you saved through? So if you have faith, does that help you? It does. So let's try that one again. If faith is what gets you to heaven, and you have faith, does faith help you? Okay, but is it helping anybody else? Well, your faith could, if it is open and obvious to everybody around you. And that is the point of James 2. It is not that you've got to prove your faith to God. Let me tell you something. God already knows your faith. God already knows if you've believed on Christ or you've not believed on Christ. The Bible does not say, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be put on probation until you can do enough works to prove that your salvation was real." It does not say that. Amen. It says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It's done. God says it. He promised it. If you have faith in Christ, then you have salvation. And if you have faith in Christ, then it has helped you for all of the rest of your eternity. But what I want you to understand is this. That's great for you and that's great for God, but what about everybody else? And that is easily seen from the passage in this that we have read, the context. The Bible teaches us here that your faith is dead when it is not doing anybody else any good. Maybe it's gotten you eternal life, that's great. But what is it doing for somebody else? And it is proved here in two ways. I just want to suggest one of these to you tonight. And then tomorrow we're going to look at this a little bit more. But look back in verse number 14. And notice that it starts out, "What doth it profit?" So the question of James 2 is, whose profit are we talking about? And it says, "What doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it," what's the next word? Profit. See the point? The point is, You can say all you want to that you've got faith in your heart, and that will give you eternal life, and that's great for you. But if there's somebody standing next to you that's got a need, and you can meet it, and you can help it, and you can reach out to them, and you do nothing about it, the Bible clearly here twice in three verses says, where's the profit in that? And it's not talking about your profit. It's not talking about God's profit. It's talking about the profit of your faith to the person standing next to you. It's talking about the profit of your faith to the world around you. And so tonight, fellas, I just want to have driven home this point, that your faith is dead if it is not doing anybody else any good. And that is worth our thinking about. So when Dr. Bill suggests that we ought to be concerned about our own house, it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You say, well, I have faith, but is it doing your wife any good? Is it doing your kids any good? Is it doing your grandchildren any good? Is it doing your neighbors any good? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. It is useless to those around you, being alone. Let's bow for prayer.